A couple of people said to me this morning, there was a shift, a change, a breakthrough. There's all kinds of words that we can use for it. I just want to say yes to God having control in our atmosphere, having control in our environment, you know? And just because we left the worship segment of our service and moved into the talking segment of our service, it doesn't, God isn't like, oh, I guess I missed my opportunity. I'm going to have to wait till next Sunday. There's stuff that he begins in us that doesn't stop. And if you feel like you're in a movement, that things were moving, you don't have to let go of that. You don't have to move on to something else. I'm not. I mean, I think it all works together. It all works together. And so, you know, I know because we meet once a week for a couple hours that there's this sense that we come here to do our business with God. His business is more important than our business. And so it doesn't ever stop. I mean, I think he looks forward to us coming to church because he looks forward to watching us work together, he loves watching us love each other and show compassion to each other and care for each other. He loves us getting a glimpse of what he's doing and then speaking it out. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in the world, wouldn't you say? Yeah, there's a lot going on in the world. I'm really excited. You guys are just plain weird. I need to get my head in the right place. Be a good idea, thank you. That would be my wife. So we're going to do something a little different today. Just give me a sec. Get my head together. Get my brain organized. Every once in a while, it disappeared on me. Every once in a while, we just need to stop doing what we're doing and do what God wants to do. And so that's what I want to do today. There's some things that have been happening the last couple of weeks that I want to let you in on, and they're family kind of things, but I want to start off in Acts chapter 13. There's a couple scriptures that I just want to look at really quickly to frame up what we're doing today. So it says in Acts, and what's going on here in Acts 13 is the church is beginning, it's ringing a bit. The church is beginning to explode in the atmosphere of persecution. The persecution has come against the church, and the church's response, or the people of God's response to that, was that there was explosive growth in the church. For some reason, when they were persecuted, they thought, well, the best thing to do is to get other people into the club. And so there's more of us, you know, there's more excitement about what Jesus had done for them and what and is doing in the future. And so there was a lot of activity going on there. The stuff in Acts chapter 2 happened where there was an explosion of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Peter gives this sermon and they start going out and they go out. One of the first places they go to is a city called Antioch. And this is kind of jumping into that place where things are moving towards from Jerusalem towards Antioch, a city. Antioch's a city. So it says, among the prophets and teachers, of the church at Antioch were of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manan, and Saul. So that it names a couple people, and it says, one day as the men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. Now, that is not much difference than what happened here this morning. In the midst of singing songs, the Holy Spirit said. That's why, you know, that's why we open things up during the worship time. It's because our assumption is not that just so we're going to sing songs, but we're going to worship God. And in the midst of his presence, the Holy Spirit said. And this time, on this day, as they were fasting and worshiping, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Not by the people, but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said something, and their response was that they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. We don't talk this way very much. We don't act this way very much. The Holy Spirit doesn't, we don't tend to admit to ourselves and to the world around us the Holy Spirit is behind what we're doing. But it's really, if you're a believer, it's a big part of who we are. It's a big part of our lives together. Then the next scripture is a little bit further down the road. And you'll notice that in this scripture, this is just a little bit. What happened is they, some men were teaching and prophesying, and Gentiles start getting saved. And so then the whole group was in confusion. It's like, what do we do with these people? These aren't Jewish people. For the Jews, circumcision was a big deal. So what do we do with that? What do we do with the rules and regulations of our Jewish religion and society? And it just kind of messed things up. And so this is a letter that was sent back to Antioch, kind of trying to straighten things out. It says, we've heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed and chose some men to send to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You're to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. Those are kind of what the rules we want you to follow. No mention of circumcision in there, which they're all going, whew. You will do well to avoid these things. And so I want to look at these two ideas of it seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work which I have called them. This whole idea that the Lord, that it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit. So this is what's on the agenda today. First of all, this is kind of like family business, and so I'm not going to make any apologies for that. If you're a visitor here, welcome to the family. I mean, like, it's just like, this is like sitting in the living room, and we're talking about life and what we're doing here. The second thing is we've been talking a lot about courage, and I want to answer a call today for our congregation to rise up in courage. And so sometimes you have opportunities to be courageous. You know what it's like. I mean, you can feel the tension in the air. You can feel it, not here, but you know, when you're presented with an opportunity to step up in courage, it gets like intense. My call into ministry happened in Belize, of all places. I went with John Dieter down to a YWAM base there, and we were in a worship time, and there was like this big covered area that had a metal roof, and all of a sudden a thunderstorm broke out, and it started pouring down rain, and I was playing guitar with no amplification, and all of a sudden nobody could hear anything because the rain was coming down so hard. And in the midst of that environment, the Lord said, I'm ready, let's do this. And within 2 months, evangel started. And I remember the feeling at that time. I mean, no, I'm in a foreign country. It's really uncomfortable. And the Lord's speaking and saying, when you get back, everything's going to change. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is like, whoo. And I came back with a tremendous amount of not just positive attitude, but courage. I was courageously ready to do what God wanted us to do. So these are the current ministries in town that are supported by Evangel. Caring Pregnancy, we give about $100 a month to. Community House on Broadway, we prepare dinner mainly through Renee Fox's orchestration. We prepare dinner once a month for them. That's part of our giving to the community's ministries. Callis Chaplaincy, we give about $100 a month. A little bit more at times, but because it all depends on, we give 1% of what comes in as back out as an offering to these ministries. 100 a month to chaplaincy. To the emergency support shelter, we provide meeting space for them probably 2 or 3, 4 times a week. So they have free rein here. They can come in here and use the building anytime they want because it gives them a little bit of separation from what's going on over there. And it makes life a little easier for them. And then Love Inc., we support $100 a month. So those are the ministries that we support. And today I want to talk about two new opportunities we have, one national and one international ministry. So I'll tell you why we're doing it this way. But the first one is Jerry and Leslie Chapman. For years, they have been doing ministry in and around us as a congregation in this community. Many of you have been involved in their lives and working with them and supporting them. They converted their barn into a worship center. Many of you were part of that whole project. Love Inc. has been part of that project. And they get blessed all the time because of their obedience just to do this ministry that they've been called to do. In fact, just yesterday, they were given a cargo van by someone to haul stuff behind their pickup. I mean, one of those covered, beautiful cargo vans. Somebody gave them one. That kind of stuff happens to them all the time. And they give away stuff all the time, too. Jerry's a truck driver, and he has driven truck to, you know, to provide for his family. He works for Lemons Trucking. But in the back of his mind for years now, it's been like, what do you want to do with this, Lord? Do you want us to move out? Do you want us to start this full-time ministry? How's that going to work? Because how do we make the transition? And I know what this is like because I went from being a respiratory therapist to a pastor in a moment. And so it's like, how do you do this, Lord? How do you want us to do this? And they've been faithfully listening to God lead them and direct them for years. I hope you don't mind. Jerry is 62, which is a great number. Jerry's 62, and he's a couple years away from retirement, and he has retirement through his job and stuff like that. So there's this period of time between now and then, and during retirement, things have kind of stabilized for them and for a couple different reasons. So we were meeting yesterday and talking about this because I'm like, are you guys ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for what God might do? And they're ready, which is amazing because I believe that the courage is coming for them to rise up and do the thing that they know that they're supposed to do at a higher level. So what that means is they're going to walk into a place where they're going to see themselves in a whole different level of ministry than they've been at. When they've been in a phenomenal place, why don't you guys come on up? Leslie, will you bring that banner? I want to have Leslie tell the story of what happened last weekend. Because they were up at the Muckleshoot tribe or reservation up north, and they had an encounter with some women from China, of all things. And so I just want to have them tell that story because this is just an example. This just happened last weekend, but this kind of stuff happens to them. And I think it's going to happen more at even deeper levels.
So we saw the Chinese woman hang this banner up on the platform last weekend, and we were positioned in a place where we just really noticed it. And we didn't like say anything to each other, but I just remember it was Joan Hunter Healing Ministries was going on last weekend. It was pretty powerful. It was pretty intense. A lot of people got healed of a lot of stuff. Anyway, and I can just remember sitting there just staring and staring at this banner. You know, I was like, that is amazing. You know, what is it all? You know, so anyway, and then maybe the next day or later that day, I heard him approach the woman and say, did you put that banner up there? And she's like, yes, I did. We put that banner up there. You know what it mean. And it's like, you know, no. She goes, it is a warrior banner. It is a warrior banner. You know, she starts describing colors, and, you know, and we know about colors and what they mean biblically. Anyway, she's like, it's a warrior banner. I'm glad you notice. It's like, okay, cool. And then they came to our table later. We were vending, and three Chinese ladies, they live in San Francisco. One's pastor, has a church there, Pastor Hannah, and they all bought drums from us. And they said, we've been looking for drums. She goes, we approach many. And then she goes, you the one. And she goes, and, you know, she just kept pointing at him, warrior anointing. And it's like, wow. And it's like, we're saying, yeah, we know. If you want to get a drum from somebody and you want to do intercession with it, yeah, you get it, you know, you get it from him. I mean, we know that. That's what God does. So anyway, and she kept coming back to our table and saying things about us and prophesying, and you can only understand half because she talks so fast and with a broken English. But then she's walking around carrying this banner. I'm like, oh, and she's looking at me, nodding her head. And I'm like, really? And I can just feel tears. And she goes, you must have this. And she gives Jerry that. And then she's holding these crazy things. And some of you know I've done banners. I don't do them very much anymore. But Dara, who comes here occasionally, she had just gifted me with some banners a couple months ago. Come to my house on a summer day and brought me these banners. And then this Chinese woman gave me these banners. And she's pointing at me. She goes, warrior anointing. She goes, these are warrior banners, special silk. She goes, you cannot find this silk anywhere. She goes, we hunted and hunted for this silk. And she goes, there will be war that will happen from these banners. And she shoves them to me. So that was just last weekend. It was pretty powerful. So, yeah, that's that story.
By the way, Jerry's going to speak in a couple weeks, so I've asked him to just share a little bit about what's going on in their ministry and how it all works and stuff like that. So this is what they do on weekends. They kind of go out, and they follow the Holy Spirit. I mean, really, they try to follow the Holy Spirit's leading and doing the things that they're doing. This is their daughter and granddaughter and some friends, and this is last April down in Los Angeles at Azusa Now. Jerry was an essential part of what happened down there and getting the 120 drums down there. So there's a lot going on with them. And I'll come back to that in a second. Let me just say this, though. Last week, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, Thursday, something phenomenal happened. We were in here at a pastor's prayer time and just praying, and we gather together once a week to pray, and we've been doing it for almost 30 years now as pastors in the city, which is, longevity-wise, that ain't bad, 30 years of doing something every week. I mean, how many times do you do something every week? You don't even go to church every week Thursday. So on Thursdays, we were here ready to pray, and there were two visitors here. One was a guy that was obviously not from this area because he spoke with an African accent. And so the friend of his said, this is a friend of mine that I met on Facebook, and I just wanted him to meet you guys. And this is who was sitting there. It was Rogers, Audi. And so he sits here. I should probably get rid of this because that's just going to distract you right now. So he's sitting here, and he starts telling us about a story. He and his wife are both teachers. And they grew up in a village outside of Nairobi, went into Nairobi, got their teaching degrees, and then were working as teachers, and they felt like they should give something back to the people in the villages where they came from. So they both heard separately, but the same thing, that they were to lay down their teaching jobs and start a school. And so they started a school outside of Nairobi in 2015. 2011 or 10. And so they've been trying to get the school going. And it's been rough. They got a place, they got a building, and they've got teachers that come in. They started out with 6 kids in 2011, and now they're up to 90 children. They gather children. In Kenya, you have to pay for education. So if you don't have money to pay for education, you don't get educated. So they get the kids from the villages that can't afford to go to school, and they provide a free school for them, plus lunch, breakfast and lunch. And so he's telling us this whole story, and it goes on and on and on. And, you know, we are here to pray, and we're really pretty diligent about not letting things interrupt our prayer time, because we believe that prayer is important. So here's this guy interrupting our prayer time. And he goes on and on and on and on. More stories, you know, and nobody interrupts him, and so he just keeps going on, tells us more about what he's doing. Well, you could feel the tension rise in the room. And people are thinking, okay, let's just move on to something else. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just really impresses upon me, this guy is worthy of honor. And he has got so much faith. And he's a man who's moving in that faith. And you need to honor him, and you need to pay attention to what he's saying. And so, because sometimes we have our own agendas, which aren't necessarily the Lord's agenda. And the Lord was interrupting our prayer time with a visitor from Kenya. Well, the only guy he knew was this guy he was with on Facebook. He flew from, well, first of all, he sold a lot of what he had. He sold his computer and a lot of personal items, got about $2,000, bought a ticket to go to Alabama. And then from Alabama, he flew here. He missed his flight. So all of his money, all of his extra money, $280, went to repurchasing a ticket because he missed his flight. So he came to Longview with $20 to raise money for a school. It didn't have any money. And here he was in Longview, and God's saying, this guy's a gift. He's a gift. And you don't even realize it. You think he's interrupting your prayer meeting, and he's a gift. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to what he's doing. So I had to leave, and I had Leslie get his number, and I met him the next day and spent a couple hours with Rogers, and we just talked about ministry. And one of the first things he said to me was, obviously, I've come here because I'm trying to raise money for our school, but more than that, I want relationship. And I'm like, my antenna go up, because I'm like the relationship addict, you know. And so I'm like, relationship? You want well, let's hear about this, you know. And so he says he wants to have he goes, I just want to be able to call somebody when things are rough and say, this is what's going on. Could you pray for me? Could you walk with me? I just want to know that somebody's out there. I've been alone in this ministry since 2011. So I'm listening to this. I'm listening to if you've been doing this for a while, can become like a sales pitch, you know. They're like somebody's trying to sell something they want you to buy. But then in the midst of it, there's this relationship that's even beginning as we speak. And so you can tell he's very, very interested in whether or not Evangel will support them, because he doesn't have anybody in Longview that is even open to the idea of supporting him. And I'm like, and I know this is coming, and we're having this conversation. I'm thinking, what am I going to say? And the Lord just says, tell him this. And so I said, you know, typically what would happen is I would say, yes, we're going to support you. And then I'd go back to the congregation of Evangel, and I'd say, this is what we're going to do, because I'm the leader. And I felt like the Lord was doing something different. And he said, I want you to do this together. So I told him, I go, I've got to talk to the congregation about this first. And he put his head down, and this is so sad. He put his head down, and he said, because he was going to leave town with no money. And he said, I know God sent me here for a reason. I can't believe that he would be so mean to send me away with nothing. I'm like, oh, gosh, please. I'm trying to be obedient to what God's saying, and you're making it so hard, because I know how important this is to you. But in that, he still embraced me, and I embraced him. The awkwardness of that moment didn't get passed by. And so our friendship actually grew through that experience. And so he left. He went to North Carolina, and he was going to talk to some guy who promised him some Bibles He actually went to Calvary Chapel over in Kelso, and they gave him an offering, $549. That was pretty cool. While he was sitting here at the prayer meeting, people brought him money and sat it on the chair next to him. And none of that money he spent, because I know, because I was with him the next day for coffee, and he didn't offer to buy anything. So, I mean, I knew that was money was really important to him, and it was all going back into ministry. So he's in North Carolina now. Then he's going back to Alabama and then back to Kenya. And so this is his ministry. It's called Ambassadors of Hope Kenya. And they have a school, and they're trying to get it going. They have teachers there. They have five teachers there on staff that are totally volunteer, no money. They don't get many money for it. Because when you're a teacher in Kenya, they send you to school, then you have to have an internship, and then they hire you up from those internships. Well, this school became a site for internship for these new student teachers. And so there's student teachers rotate in and out all the time, but right now they have five, and they have a couple other volunteers. And then Rogers and his wife also volunteer. And then they do side jobs to kind of pay the bills and stuff like that. They're totally living by faith. And so he brought us a video that he tried to get us to watch during the prayer time, and we weren't going to do that because it was just not enough time. I watched it with Jody when we got later that next day after I'd talked to him, and I just want to show you the video. So if we have sound, this is his ministry.
Ambassadors of Hope Kenya was established in the year 2010. Its aim is to bring hope to the hopeless, orphans, widows, and abused and abandoned girls. Highgate's Educational Center serves as an example of what Ambassadors of Hope Kenya does.
National anthem of the nation of Kenya.
Good morning.
Good morning, teacher Jemima.
It's time for science, and today I want us to learn plants and plants we eat. Name for me the food plants, you know. Which one do you eat?
Fruit.
Say fruit. Hello, my name is Jemima. I'm the head teacher of Highgate Educational Center. I've been in this school for a period of 1 year. We have 4 teachers right now and 73 children. The number of children increase day by day, and we are having challenges to keep them in school. Sometimes most of them don't come to school daily because of lack of food, lack of clothes, clean uniform, and other stuff. In this school, since I came, I think we've changed teachers because most of them come as volunteers, and after a while, they get grandma pastor and leave. That's the main reason why we change teachers, which is not good for the children. We love to keep our teachers in school for a long time possible, for the longest time possible. So our challenges, teachers and pupils, we don't have enough books, because when you send children to buy books in school from home, they don't come with enough books, and some parents are not able to buy books.
Rogers, together with his wife, the founders of Ambassadors of Hope Kenya, are out to make the underprivileged children become better personalities in the society.
My name is Rogers Odhiambo Audi. I'm the visionaire of the school here, Highgates Educational Center. The school was started way back in 2011 with my wife, Cynthia Awili. We started this school because of what we were brought up from. We are coming from, all of us, we come from a very humble background. And we sat down with my wife and I said, what can we do to supplement what government of Kenya is doing and to bring up the children of God? And my wife said, no, my heart is in the school. And I said, come on, exactly that is what I've been thinking about. And then there when we started the school in 2011. So when we came here, we started to look around where we can do the school. And we came here and we talked to the owner of this place and he allowed us to start the school here and we were paying rent. So when we were starting, we got 6 children when we started the school. And way back in 2011, with 6 children, until today, we have around 73 children in the school. And that thing has really prompted us to even do more and more and more. The school, we not only offer education, but we realize after the school, there is so many other things. For example, we have clothing, these children want food, these children want love, these children want to be mentored. And so then we took this thing as our one and major objective to do to the children. As we give them education, we started to nurture these children in a godly or in a Christian background. So these children, before we start any education, we do religious education, and the children are well-versed with the Bible, and that is really encouraging. Where we are, where the school is, it is a rented place. We rent this place with $300 every month, which is very tricky
now.
To come over to pay the rent. We have teachers who are volunteering to work with us. We have 5 teachers, and we have 2 other non-teaching staff who are doing the cooking and one who can do the messenger job or security, who are also would want to be appreciated. The rent for this school has been an issue. We have issues with the stationery. So many of these children, as I told you before, the children are coming from a very poor background. They can't even afford their books. So it is us to go find the books for the children. Sometimes I have some other engagements that give me some little income that I come again invest in the school because it is something that is in me. And I'm also reaching out to friends and well-wishers who I tell them about my vision. And I've seen some people have been coming in to support us.
That's
and
the
through
restroom
that,
that
I've managed
building
to,
out there.
Support the teachers in our school.
They've had 5 of their girls go on to high school now, and they're supporting them too. It costs about $4,000 a year to go to high school.
Alikuwa anasoma shule Highgate, sasa ilikuwa nataka msaidizi kama iko mwenye anaweza saidia kwa uniform ama shamba yanaweka shule.
All the kids have uniforms and they cost $22 a piece to buy a uniform for the kids.
Watoto wako shule karibu na wamesoma mzuri, shule iko karibu, anapata lunch, anakunywa uji asubuhi. Sasa naongea tu, naomba msaidizi kama unaweza patikana.
We are calling upon those who can give us support.
That's Cynthia,
because you're having
Roger's wife.
A challenge in getting food for these children. You are so much welcome to Highgates Educational Center to come and help us help these vulnerable children. In any way that you feel that you are touched, you are so much welcome. If you feel like you can give us support, maybe in school uniforms, stationaries, or you can even help us to get our place, you are so much welcome.
Besides giving hope to the needy and orphan children, Ambassadors of Hope is also focusing on bringing hope and restoring dignity to the widows.
different for the older house that she had. It was a very small house that she couldn't afford to, you know, make a move and do various stuff that she's supposed to do in her house. And today, Mama Elida is very happy. Mommy more.
Amor.
She's saying she's very happy.
Amor kabisa.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for the donation. Thank you for helping us doing this. We are looking forward to do more houses. We are looking forward to do various houses for the widows around this region.
They built the house in 2 days for $850.
That's distributing food and helping in building them houses, providing them with shelter over their heads.
And then once a month, the widows come into the school and they give them those bags of resources.
They are so happy and they say, God bless you so much for the food that you...
The reason why this is important, it's almost over. The reason why this whole thing with the widows is important, when you become a widow in Kenya, you are pretty much excluded from the community, because if you can't have a relationship with women who have husbands because they're threatened by the fact that they're having a relationship with somebody without a husband. So they're kind of treated as witches in the community. They're evil and they stay away from them. So Rogers and his group are gathering these widows together. There's about 15, 16 of them once a month, and they're just trying to encourage them and give them resources to bless them and build these houses for them. Like I said, the houses are $850 a piece. So this is actually the note on the left that he gave me. He goes, he handed me, I go, what do you need? And so he had it all written down. And so he just handed it to me, and so I took a picture of it. But that's the school renovation is why that's important, is because the government wants to shut them down because they don't have adequate facilities for the kids. And Rogers said, they're right. We should be shut down. We don't have adequate facilities. We don't have a restroom inside. We don't have plumbing. We don't have a kitchen. And we're serving meals. And so he's trying to put together $3,700 to renovate the school. The rent is $350. That's being paid by a church in Alabama. And that's the only support that they've got ongoing, is that church from Alabama that pays their rent. The food is about $840. The uniforms, you know, you can see all that stuff. And then as far as the widows go, it's $850. And the houses are a big deal because they have no way of getting out of the houses they're at into a place that's protected from the rain. Feeding program, coats, Bibles, there's all kinds of stuff too. So there's obviously a lot of things that you can do. But the thing I just wanted to say was the relationship is like a big deal to this guy. And it's driving him. Now, most of you know we were in Honduras for about 5 years doing ministry there. That came out of a relationship after Hurricane Mitch hit Honduras and it got devastated. Somebody from Evangel developed a relationship with a lady from Portland who had relatives down there. And out of that relationship, we ended up spending the next 5 years or six ministering down in Honduras and rebuilding houses or building new houses and doing some outreach stuff down there. So this is what I'm trying to figure out what seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And I don't think it should be done by me alone. And so I just want, I feel like the Lord is giving us an opportunity to step up in courage as a congregation and start to embrace missions at a different level. Embrace Jerry and Leslie at a different level. Embrace this ministry in Kenya at a whole different level. It's interesting because Leah Walker has been after me for years. I want to go and do outreach. I want to go and do outreach. And I've been telling her for years, I'm not doing without relationship. I'm not just going to go out and start doing ministry without a relationship with somebody. So when I met Rogers and we were sitting down talking, what was in my mind was Leah. This is like an avenue for her to be able to go out. And one of the things Rogers said was, I want you to come. Just come to Kenya, see what we're doing. And so I just want to open this up a little bit. I want to hear back from you. What do you think? What do you think? As a congregation,
obviously we don't have a bunch of cash laying around, and I'm not going to take an offering today. I'm not going to hand out commitment cards today. But that's not what this is about. This is like, does it seem right to the Holy Spirit and to us to enter into a relationship with Jerry and Leslie where we actually launch their ministry? To enter into a relationship with Rogers and his wife Cynthia and their son Christopher, where we actually help them move forward in their relationship or in their ministry? Is it something that we should do? Is it something I don't think we're ready for it. If it was about being ready for anything, we would never do anything. We'd just sit around and, wait for a sign from heaven. But last week ago, Thursday, I had a sign from heaven walk into the room and sit here and talk to us. It was really, really interesting how the Lord said, this is a gift for you. Are you going to embrace it? And so I'm saying, I think that these two people, these two groups, Jerry and Leslie and Rogers and his ministry in Kenya, are a gift to us. And the question is, do we want it? Do we want to embrace it? So what do you think? I want to hear some. Somebody say something.
Thank you. My name is Jerome. I'm from the Portland area, but I'm living here in Longview, Kelso. I got a little ministry that I do, and it's called Sanctum Home. I take care of people that's disabled and provide a safe place for certain people, because I got a big house. I was blessed with a big, 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 nice home to live in because I was homeless at one time. So I know how it is to not have shelter and to need shelter and to need help, And, I'm just kind of amazed at what they're doing and, what they're working with, over there. They're working with, God said he created us from the dust of the earth and we shall return to dust, and to the ground or whatnot. But I see that they're taking whatever they have to utilize and working with what they got. They're making houses out of mud, bricks and stuff, And, $850 per home, that's pretty reasonable. And they're working with it, and they're happy just to have that, but it just amazes me how the government's saying we're going to shut you down because you don't have adequate facilities for the children. What is the government doing? Come on. Why are you going to shut them down with what they're working with instead of just letting them work with what they got and then kind of encouraging them? You're threatening them. That's what it sounds like to me. It's being threatened at being shut down. Well, what if they shut them down, what are the kids going to do? Yeah. Where are they going to go?
Well, and that's the whole thinking behind Rogers and Cynthia is, these guys are doing this all on their own. Jerry and Leslie go out on their own. The money that I shouldn't say that. They actually have a support base. And the support base is about $1,100 a month they get to do ministry. And they use all that money plus more to go out and do this stuff. So I asked Leslie to put together, give us an idea of what it's going to take to launch you into full-time ministry. And he's actually got some different options as far as work goes to ease himself out of work. But it's going to take courage for him to do this. And that's what I wanted to find out from yesterday is this clicking inside you? Is there courage that's rising up in you to do this? Anybody? What else are you guys thinking, Susan? Because I really want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I really believe that we're living in the kingdom age now and that kingdom advancement is coming in a big way. And I also believe in this country, I'm just going to make a declaration, it's going to be Christians who pay off the national debt. I think that we have so much ahead for us that's good, and we ought to be taking on these things, not just in this country, paying off our national debt and not waiting for the people who don't know the Lord to do it, but just step into our role and as kings and priests and sons of God. And I'm excited about this because I've been writing Heidi Baker and wanting to go to Africa. And now I see I don't have to beg and plead for somebody to accept me to come to Africa. I'm excited. I want to go.
Yeah. And we can go to do medical stuff there. There are some nurses in the body that can do that kind of stuff. I know there's a lot of stirring in the room because
I get emotional when I see this stuff. I've been off and on locked up, taken away, and been in need, and have everybody turn their back because I wore holy pants, and they weren't holy of God. They were just holy dirty. But I speak, I'm not on my own words, but what the Father says. And since we're all great believers in the Spirit, I feel it's only my obligation to come up to the congregation, which I just met today, and to speak my opinion, which doesn't mean nothing, but word of God means everything. So, James chapter 1, verse 27, one of the ones I do not remember, but remember where it's at, says, here are the beliefs of the way of life God our Father accepts as pure, pure, right, honest, way we should go, and without fault. When widows, I heard widows in there. That just touches my heart. When widows are in trouble, take care of them. He didn't say ignore them. Take care of them. Do the same with children who have no parents. There's children. God bless them. And don't let the world make you impure. With that being said, Jesus learned his obedience through his suffering. It was suffering that takes the discipline to be hungry. We fast not to hear from God, but to hear from him.
Yeah.
And we can do all things through Christ. I have no money to give, and I'll give my last $10 because I believe in suffering is a good thing and it builds character. Because when you're locked up and have nothing, you can be happy. People look at you like you're on drugs. You know what I mean? I said, no, I'm not on dope. I'm on the Holy Spirit, brother. I haven't slept for 3 days, all right? And I'm not a holy walker, but I like to speak the truth. Now, I offer the congregation, I have $177 in food stamps. For anybody who wants to donate $100, I'll give you $175 food stamps. Since they don't accept food stamps, that's the only way I can give. But if I don't give something, it's okay, because I can't give everything. But if I give what I can, God knows my heart.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's good. That's good, man. Again, I'm not going to try to take an offering today. That's not the point. The point is this. Really, I want to be really clear about this. I believe we have to give our heart before we give our money. Amen. We give money all the time to things. I mean, I don't even know if you guys know this. About a month and a half ago, Mountain Ministries caught fire, and we took an offering that day. You guys sent a little more than $700 up that day, and that was just taking an offering at the spur of the moment to help out a ministry in town. So that happens. We give money. But I feel like what we need to make a kind of a decision about together as a congregation is, are we ready to give our hearts to something? I want to give, if we're going to support Jerry and Leslie, I want to give our hearts to it before we give our money to it. And it's going to, I mean, I'm not saying that we should take the money that we tithe and give it to these people. I'm talking about going the next step financially and giving offerings to do things that seem impossible right now. But I'm not going to mandate that for Evangel. I think we've been given an opportunity. Patty, you wanted to say something?
I agree with the word that you spoke. That was exactly what my spirit was hearing from the Holy Spirit, is that we are supposed to join and to bless the widows and to bless the orphans and to support them. And I know that we like to think of things through our own supplies, what we have to give.
Yeah.
And even the emotional or the relationship, what we have to give left. And some of us might be sitting here thinking, I'm so committed to this and this, and I've got so many other things, but I really sense that the Holy Spirit in that new thing he's doing, he's opening up more even relationship-wise, more space within us to be able to give out and to be able to connect. And so it's not about the money. It's about our heart. It's about our prayers. It's about our intercession. Was it last week that I felt like we were supposed to ask ministries that Lord, bring ministries that need us to intercede for them.
Oh, go
bring
figure.
Those. Yes. And and so he brought them, and they were asking. And so here we are saying, yes, Lord, we asked you to bring them so we'd know who to do battle with, who to stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder with. And so I say, yes, Lord.
Yeah. And not only can we can go to Kenya, but we can also go to, we can also go with Jerry and Leslie when they go out. I mean, we've got an open invitation from them to go with them and do ministry with them. We can go to Kenya and do ministry. It's like, it's not about sending money somewhere. I mean, I firmly believe that a portion of everything that comes to Evangel should go out, and we should not have any, it shouldn't be for us. We shouldn't get any benefit from it. 1% seems like a pretty low number. 1% of what comes in goes out. It seems like it should be around 10% of what comes in should go out. So we've got some room to be able to give more as a congregation too. But so I think that there's something that's stirring in us about faith, about our faith rising. And as our faith rises, our courage is going to rise, and we're going to be given more and more opportunities to do more and more through the power of the Holy Spirit and not just our own power. So I just bring all this to you this morning. I'm not going to take a vote. We're not going to collect money. But I really believe that we're in this together. It's not just leaders saying, this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to go.
For me personally, to be able to support Jerry and Leslie in the call that God has put on them, that doesn't take a whole lot of faith for me because I know them.
Yeah.
You know, we know them. We know their integrity. We know their intention. And I would absolutely say yes to that. With the what we just looked at for Kenya really moved my heart differently than usual. It's not the first time that we've seen a video or something for places that need ministry, that need, you know, missions or whatever. But my heart was really moved by that. But I also felt in my spirit that it would take faith to do that, to take that on in some way, shape, or form in a different way than Jerry and Leslie. Like I said, that one is simple. This one, I have a real sense in my heart that this is something to honor, something that is worthy of that. And, it moves my heart to want in some capacity to be a part of that.
Honor is a big deal, too. I honor Jerry and Leslie enough to not promise them something we can't do. And I don't want to, I honor Rogers, even the small amount that I know him, I don't want to promise him that we're going to be partners in ministry with you and then not really have a heart behind that. I really think that we should honor them and be honest and open, but also passionate, aggressive about what God's calling us to do.
Well, I know that the scripture is in there somewhere, so I just don't know where, but it says that you're supposed to take care of family. And so that's how I feel about Jerry and Leslie. They're part of the family.
Yeah.
We should be taking care of the family and their family. And that's how I felt when we took that offering for Mountain Ministries. To me, it was taking care of the family. They're part of the family in this area. And so, you know, I just agree that should be something we're doing because they're part of the family and we need to take care of the family.
And we're a family.
Yeah.
So we don't do this individually. It would be, we could say, and this is the way a lot of churches operate, we're going to start funding Jerry and Leslie at $1,000 a month as a church, so give to the church. But I've never really liked that whole idea. I'd much rather have you write a check. You can give it to Evangel, it can go through Evangel to them, but I'd rather have you give individually. I want to support them as a congregation, but I don't want to lead that way. I want us to take an individual approach to it and say, I want to give to you guys. I want to help launch your ministry. I want to be able to look at it a couple years from now and say, yeah, we were part of getting this thing off the ground. We were part of helping them accomplish the thing that God's called them to do.
I don't know if it's possible or whatever, but in my heart, I was just thinking we should knock their socks off with blessing to that. Like, I don't know how or what, but like fund what they need to keep going.
Yeah.
Like the $3,700.
Yeah.
Something, just blow them apart with that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to talk about it. But anyways, I'm going to do something monthly because I'm not trying to toot my own horn is what I'm saying. But
yeah.
I'm going to do something monthly. And
But God wants to toot your horn.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But no. No, he does. But I'm just saying I want to do something monthly. But I think as a church we should do something to just like blow him away with support and love. So that's just my heart. I'm like you said, we're not doing an offering today.
Yeah.
Something we need to discuss. as a body, what have you. But
so, well, I don't think we need to discuss it
or whatever. But yeah,
whatever,
we just need to
but
blow
I
them
just,
away.
That's not the point of what we're doing today. The point is, where's our heart at? Yeah, and this is what is really important right now is realizing we have a voice. You know, we have a voice in this thing. You have a voice. It's not about what Evangel decides to do. It's what people. I mean, I felt the same way, Jeannie, when we watched it the first time. The thing I was most impressed by is this couple, Rogers and Cynthia, give everything they have to get these kids educated. That's amazing. And they do it with hardly anything. They don't have much resources, but everything they have, they give to it. Yeah, it is a good job. Yeah. That was our meal in Belize when we were there. Rice and beans. Grace, you wanted to say something?
You know, I was just sitting here listening and thinking, and then the Lord just flashback a couple years ago. I intercede at home. I'm mostly home sometimes, but I get kind of productive sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. And I was at my kitchen table, and I heard a song. Anyhow, and I heard, I don't know what language, but I knew it was from Africa. And I just dropped and did, you know, to the floor. I just bawled. And I said, God, you got to send me. And he said, I will. You know, because I'd like to go everywhere anyway. So I put the pen in at the back of my mind. And then lately, guys and gals, I've been interceding specifically that he would give us the nations.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here. Oh, my gosh. Can you see it came to us?
Yeah.
No, really. Can you see that? That's a lot of miles in the natural to come. Specifically, look, Nazareth, Longview, you know what I'm saying? Really, think about that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm getting excited.
Well, we need to wrap this up. I know that there's a lot going on in the room, and there's a lot of things that we could say. Nancy, did you have your hand up? Just a sec.
I just wanted to echo what Grace was saying about that's been on my heart lately too, to extend the kingdom to the nations, and my heart is moved for intercession for this group, for Leslie and Jerry, and also for the school in Africa that are in Kenya to pray, and that's a commitment that we need to make.
Well, We've known for some time that the Lord was going to do something, right? Significant. And yet, it seems like with us, Lord, really? With us? I think the significance is coming in a different package than we anticipated. Yeah. So, you know, I want you to take this stuff into. It was really more about this. Does it seem good to the Holy Spirit and to us that we up the ante a little bit and expect more out of ourselves? It isn't just about sending money, but it's about God doing things through us that will impact Jerry and Leslie directly, or through us that will impact Kenya. And I see it in your eyes and in your hearts that you're kind of like ready to take on the challenge. And I know that if you're not into this, you're not going to stand up and say, I don't want to do this. I know that. I realize the group dynamic would never allow for that. But I just ask you to pray. Just pray about it and see if the Lord stirs up this congregation and even this region to, I mean, if Jerry and Leslie go out, it's going to take the churches in Longview to do that. It can't be one congregation probably. I mean, who knows? Maybe it could be one congregation. But it's probably going to take our relationships with each other, our relationships outside this body. But let's get them out there doing what, I want them to meet more Chinese pastors who gave them banners, you know. I want them to see the drums used powerfully in the Northwest, but also in the nation. One of the things as I was talking to him, I felt yesterday was the Lord's about to send them to Jerusalem. And then Jerry said, we've already got an invitation to go from Linda Prince. And so, you know, I think that things are changing and they're moving, and I want to be part of that. It was evidenced this morning when we were worshiping that God's presence was here in a way that was demonstrative. And so let's just ask for more of that, okay? Let's stand together. Lord, if your presence comes and empowers us, it's not just about worship. It's not just about prayer, but it's about our lives. It's about everything we do. It's about contending for people to get healed, for Alyssa, for a miracle for her. We're not coming because we feel obligated to pray. We're coming because we expect you to do miraculous things in the days ahead, and you're giving us courage to believe for more and more and more. So we're ready, Lord. We're ready to say yes to you. We don't have to know the whole story. We don't have to know what it's going to take. We're just ready to move with you. And we say yes to you. We say yes for your plans for this congregation, but also for this region. I love the way that you've given us a heart, not just for a group of people, but for a region of people who are, a lot of them don't even know you yet. And they're about to find out. The plow's coming. The plow is coming. And it's about, the harvest is right on the, oh my gosh. So we say yes, Lord. Yes. We say yes to you in your plans. We say yes to you in your will being done in our midst. We say yes to you in our love for each other, which is empowering so much of what you've called us to do right now. We say yes to everything that you have in store for the United States. We say yes, Lord Jesus, to prayer and intercession over our nation. But we also say yes to what you're doing right here in this city. You brought Jerry and Leslie into ministry. You're going to launch them, Lord. You brought Rogers into this city and plopped him down here in Longview, and you're going to be the solution to his problems. Lord, we just say yes to you and your plans. Amen. Amen.